Morning, everybody. Welcome along to your free podcast for today, Monday, September the 12th. I would be lying to you if I said the last few days have not been busy. Busy would be a very, very good description. Although, no surprise. I think, you know, everybody's got the story of where they were when they heard the news, you know, how you heard the news and all the rest of it. And in the case of Her Majesty, the moment I heard Steph McGovern say we need to go to the Channel 4 newsroom, I thought, well, this is important. If they're going to the newsroom, and then they basically did a very small little thing and then saying she's being looked after, I thought, she's going. She's going now. You could just tell. Otherwise, why would they have bothered telling you that? You know, they have to tell you, they released it. It was a statement from Buckingham Palace. Yeah, I mean, it's very unusual. I think what they were doing is they were sort of trying to preempt Twitter and all the rest of it. People saying she didn't look very well, but it doesn't matter. What will have not surprised anybody in this country is the amount of coverage, is the way that organisations turn themselves around from newspapers to television. The royal family themselves were obviously prepared for it, because when you think about it, Charles got the call, Anne got the call, and people were getting on planes. All of this has to be organised. Phenomenal organisation behind the scenes. They've got to make sure, has Charles got a black tie with him? Has Anne got a black outfit? They've got all these things ready, and they then have to get them to the particular person. I believe that Anne was with her when she passed away. And now they're moving her around. There will be the lying in state. If you listen to the programmes on LBC, you'll hear the complete rundown. London is going to be, well, certainly for the 19th and for the days before, they'll be rehearsing. So if you're in London over the next week or so in the early hours of the morning, and when I say early hours of the morning, I mean probably about 4 o'clock, just as we start, you will find that all the soldiers will be out there rehearsing, because it's a state funeral. It's a state funeral for Her Majesty, and she's accorded no less. And it's lovely when you look at all the people and the newspapers and the television programmes especially. They've had to hunt people down, you know, to say, did you meet her? Did you not meet her? What was she like? And all this kind of thing. And it was amazing how many people met her and were moved by her. Because there's one thing that you can't get. I know there's been a few anti-royalists, people who've sort of complained about the monarchy and all this kind of stuff, and a few people have been arrested. And you think to yourself, it's disrespect. Whether you like the woman or not, it makes no difference. It's disrespectful. It's at a funeral. You know, you're coming over as bad as that ghastly Baptist church in America who picket the funeral of American soldiers. It's like that. You don't interfere with something that's got absolutely nothing to do with you at all. You know, you can have your little protest, but don't spoil the moment and the occasion for a woman who devoted 70 years of her life to doing a job. She didn't know anything else. You know, her idea of relaxation was 3 months at Balmoral, where she could go out for a walk, she could go horse riding. I think the moment she lost Philip, I think she lost a huge part of herself. He'd been so much in her life. I was asking the one question, it might seem really bizarre. I want to know what she's wearing. I want to know, you know, I mean, would there be a regulation outfit? Would she be wearing diamonds? Would she be buried with something that was a keepsake? I don't know. I've got no idea. Nobody's ever asked that question. They probably think it's too impertinent. But me, I would like to think that she's OK. You know, they keep telling us she's going to be buried in an oak coffin. And I thought, is this a stock coffin? Because every funeral director has, we used to have one when we were in Hammersmith. And they would have coffins delivered on a Wednesday and on a Saturday. And a huge lorry would turn up, all different sizes. You know, you don't just have the one size and knock a piece into it or something like that. You've got different size coffins. And I wonder whether hers was made specially of English oak, you know, and reserved in the event of something happening. I mean, you know, somebody said, strange enough, we were talking about it literally beforehand, because most organisations, and LBC would be included in that as a news gathering organisation and an imparter of news, is we have obits ready. Obits ready to run, so that in the event of a disaster, in the event of somebody passing away, you've got basically a ready-made programme. You've got a programme there where you've got clips and you've got interviews and stuff like that. And then you keep adding to it on a regular basis. There used to be a guy called Charlie, who used to work for LBC years ago. And his job every day was to cut bits out and add them to the obit tape that we had. So they had tapes, I know. Tapes, how old-fashioned is that? So they had something to run. So when the news was announced, LBC could go straight into it. Like all the news organisations, everything was ready. Everything was ready. All you had to do was play it out and then get all the experts. And you keep seeing the same experts cropping up. You know, Dimbleby's been on just about every programme. Clive Murray's on every programme. Chris Shipp, loads of people. I kept seeing the same people doing the rounds because they're the experts on what the royal family get up to and how the protocol works. Because it's all playing by the book. They don't just make anything up. This has been rehearsed. Charles becoming king has been rehearsed for him for the last 70 years, I think. It's as simple as he's been ready for it, whereas if it was the other way round and it was William, he wouldn't be ready for this. But Charles has been waiting for ages and ages. I mean, it was very interesting, actually, and it's going to sound a bit churlish, but William was saying, you know, I've lost my grandmother. I thought, now you know how the rest of us feel. You know, we've all been in that situation. So when you say you've lost your granny, your granny was infinitely more, you know, better known than any of our grannies, but they were still our grannies, you know, our mum and dad. I lost my mum and dad. I lost my grandmothers. I lost my grandfathers. We all know what it's been like. We've been there. It's just that they have to carry it out in the full glare of the public. Now, whether or not Harry and Meghan come back into the fold, I've got no idea. I've got no idea. Charles mentioned them in his speech. And it's amazing how many people came. I never came into contact with the Queen. Never came into contact with the Queen, so I'd love to have met her. That would have been sort of such a thrill. I mean, I've been at the Royal Albert Hall, where the Royal Box was literally within 50 feet of me, as you were able to look at them. Turns out that Andrew's given the dogs to look after, but as he gifted them to the Queen in the first place. The one thing I don't think they do want, with all due reverence, is loads more Paddington Bears, thank you very much indeed. They've got loads of Paddington Bears and marmalade sandwiches. I find it difficult to believe that somebody would actually sit at home, get a loaf of bread and butter and make a marmalade sandwich, put it in a plastic bag and take it down and put it among the flowers. That I couldn't believe. I was delighted to discover that a lot of people were taking the plastic off the flowers because they just rot. That's the trouble. They rot. They're not getting any. There's no water. They're not being, you know, sort of watered or anything like that. But whatever it was, whether you liked her or you didn't like her, she was still a figurehead for this country. She made a lot of friends. That's what her role in life was. She knew what to do and she did it very well. You know, she really did. She didn't let, you know, even, you know, her children, when they met her first thing in the morning, they had to bow or curtsy. That was how the family operate. It's as simple as that. It works to a tight set of rules and it will never change. I think Charles is going to be absolutely fine as king. Camilla will do her bit and William and Kate with. Whatever happens to Harry and Meghan doesn't make any difference. You know, let's face it, I don't think William and Kate have spoken to Harry and Meghan for 2 years. I mean, that's kind of a long time. You know, you get to that stage where if you've had a row with one of your best friends, and then you don't talk to them and you leave it a bit low. Then you think, oh, I'll talk to them next week. And then next week never comes. And so it goes on and on and on. And because they've got such full diaries, they just don't have the, you know, you just don't pick up and do small talk. What are they going to talk about? So how are you and Meghan? Okay, thank you. How's the Invicta Games going? Okay, lovely. Talk to you next week. Bye. And they put the phone down. That's the way it doesn't work in the royal family. They don't have time for small talk. The Queen didn't do small talk. She was, you know, a very, very interesting. As I say, I'd love to have met her. And the people who did meet her, you know, say how great she was. She had a piper outside Balmoral. They used to have him at the going down of the sun and he would play. And then she decided that she wanted him in the morning as well. So he was there. And he says she was easygoing and funny. And secretly liked being called Your Royal Highness after he mistakenly called her by the title instead of Your Majesty. And then we have to change everything. ER will have to be changed, won't it? I mean, all of the things that will be changed, all the flags that will be changed. What happens to, yes, all the money will have to be changed. What happens to all her clothes? You know, QCs, they become KCs, King's Council. I noticed people have already started singing, you know, God save our gracious King, long live our noble King, you know, and send him victorious, happy and glorious. I think he'll be fine. As I say, he's waiting. I just hope he lives long enough. And he also said the same thing. He said, I'm going to do it for however much time God gives me, because that's the one thing you never know. But I think she knew. I think she knew. I think she was very tired. And, you know, and she's been in all of our lives for such a long time. And I know that probably there are one or two of you, only one or two, who are going, oh, enough already. But you've got a few more days of this to go. And you won't forget her, because the programmes will always, every year, there will be you know, the anniversary, thousands lining the street. They want to be there because it's something. I said to my former producer, Corey, when this news came through, and I said, you won't forget this ever. I said, this will be in your, you know, the day that Her Majesty the Queen passed away and you were doing a radio programme. I said, you'll remember that. Like, I remember covering, surprisingly, Andrew and Sarah's wedding. You know, the, got the coronation I covered, you know, D-Day, all the rest of it, usual sort of thing. So everything's got to be changed. They'll have to take pictures. The Royal Mint will then have to change all of the coinage. And so it goes through. But it doesn't matter because that's what we do. I believe even Putin sent condolences. Whether or not it's true, I've got no idea. But at least it meant something. You know, she meant something. She was a very, very important person. And staff were leaving flowers the other day at a Kenyan safari lodge where she went up the tree. It was treetop. She went up the tree and she came down a queen. Her father was ill when she left on the flight. And I think he knew that he was very ill. And that was King George the VI in 1952. And treetops was an elaborate place. I mean, it was still there. And anyway, she was told that her father had died. That's where she went for her honeymoon. And then she literally... But can you believe it? They were so well prepared, they'd even taken out a black outfit for her to wear in the event of something happening. They are nothing if not braced for every eventuality. They'd be wearing special brooch. That's why I think she'll be buried with something very special, a piece of jewellery that appertains to her and Philip. And I think she will end up in St George's Chapel at Windsor, because that's where Prince Philip is at the moment. Now, either they will leave them there in the crypt together, in which case you can't just leave a coffin out. It will go in a lead-lined coffin and it will be down there. I mean, it's not open to the public. I mean, you can go in the chapel, but you can't go down into the thing. I thought then they might be moved to Frogmore, which is the royal's burial place. I think Victoria's down there and things like that. But whatever it is, as I read that poem at the end of the programme this morning, and I just thought it was terribly moving. I don't know anything about it. I just know that John Warrington sent it to me and he said, this sort of sums it up. And it was a lovely poem because I mentioned it to a friend of mine. He went, oh, I know that. He said, we've already seen it. And I thought, well, I hadn't heard it before and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Daniel Craig has paid tribute to Her Majesty the Queen. And he said, echoed by millions, you won't see the likes of her ever again. You really won't. And she played along with things. She knew exactly what her role in life was. She did it, and she did it bloody well. She did it well. You know, she knew to meet people. She seemed to know every little bit. It is said she knew the names of all her horses from 40 years ago. And you think, I can't remember last Tuesday what I bought in Marks and Spencer's. But the Prince's Trust, Charles has said that he won't be able to devote as much time to the charities as he did before, because the one thing he's got to get his head around is the red box, and he hates the red box because they send over the papers, I think on a daily basis. It's got to be signed and sent back, and he hates it when he gets one at the weekend, apparently, because it kind of ruins his weekend because he was sort of hoping to get away for the weekend with sort of Camilla. I don't know whether or not William and Kate we'll move to Windsor Castle, because they've only just moved into the other place. It's a bit difficult to know who's actually going where at the moment. But, you know, either way, they do have Windsor Castle to go to. I thought all the speeches after the Queen died were very good. I thought Keir Starmer was excellent. I thought Liz Truss was good. I thought Charles's speech was great. I thought everybody's been so well versed in it. I mean, they were beautifully written. And when you think in such a short space of time, these people had to write their speeches. A case of, you know, the Queen has died and people go, oh, what do we do now? And they go, well, you need to write a speech to start with. And Charles says, well, I think a lot will have been prepared in advance. Because if you remember, I don't know if you remember, but Boris was being interviewed and he said some months ago the BBC wanted to make a documentary about the Queen. And he said they wanted me to talk about her in past tense. He said, and I said to them, I'm not doing it. Yeah, it was on the other day. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, I'm not going to talk about her in the past tense. But I don't know whether or not they had a special coffin ready for her, English oak. It would have to be English oak, wouldn't it? And as I say, quite a proud moment for the funeral director. You tend to forget all these people. They have had to, you know, go and collect Her Majesty and put her into the coffin, or they took the coffin there and then put her in it, you know, and the family will want to pay their respects. It's a lot to organise very quickly. And, you know, so far they've held it together. Whether or not they lose it at the state funeral, I've got no idea. I would expect, you know, something, because people loved her. Although I reckon she could be very tough if she wanted to be. You didn't mess with her. She would always... There's a very good DVD you should watch. It's called The Queen's Castle, and it's Windsor. And that they sort of look at life there and her coming out and meeting the staff at Christmas, and they all sing carols, and she goes, hello, thank you. And it was all very sweet, and it was all very lovely. And Prince Philip was there taking people through Frogmore to say, that's, you know, that's the royal burial place and all the rest of it. And then you get to see the Queen at one of the banquets, where it's people walk on the table in these special sock type things so they don't mark the table, and there's a set space between you and the next person. Oh, it's just to lay a table. And they will say to her, the microphone, Your Majesty, is in the flowers in front of you. There'll be a table arrangement so she doesn't wear a clip-on mic. The microphone will be put into the flowers. It's so organised, you can't believe it. They sort of sit down, she goes through the recipes. And the man will come up and say, we're having lamb for starters. Like, OK. And the wine that goes with it will be this. And then they go to the cellar. I don't like that. Because she hardly drinks anything. She would just have it there as a toast. I don't think I've ever seen her drinking it. Jude Law leads the celebrity tributes at Disney's D23 Expo 2022. And he said he was reflecting. Everybody is reflecting, you know, on what life will be like without her. And the answer is it will be different. But what we've got to do is we've all got to band together. We've all got to be there. We've all got to make sure that we help each other out. You know, I think it's things like this. When they went back over the Jubilees, it was the country coming together. I told you, Dale and I drove up and down the Mall on one of them with the flag on the electric aerial. And every time the aerial went up, people clapped. So we went round twice. It was too funny for words. But nice to see all the people out there, because she was loved. As I say, it doesn't matter if you didn't like her, you didn't like what she stood for. She was an adored person in this country. She was a great figurehead. She was great for this country, for our bank balance and everything. Look at all the tourists. They come to London, they want to see Big Ben, they want to see Buckingham Palace, and if they get a bonus, they get to see Her Majesty the Queen. It's as simple as that. And to see all the crowds out there is just very, very pleasing. So, you know, a sad few days for us, and we get through the state funeral. But as they say on all the best programmes, life has to return to normal, because we've got our own problems to deal with, you know. And whilst we don't forget, there are other people who've lost family members. Just in the last few days, there will be thousands and thousands of people, and our thoughts are with them as well. So thank you for being there. Thank you for sticking with LBC, and to make sure that we gave you all the right information. And to hear people's memories was even better. I was listening to all sorts of things and hearing some of the presenters and their memories as well. That was very nice. David Lammy had some particularly good memories, and people who'd been on different boards and this and that. And you think there's something very special. You know, we should be very proud of living in this country and very proud of what we've got. So whilst we say farewell to such a great lady, we say hello to King Charles III, and know that he is going to devote as much time as he possibly can to keeping us on an even keel, because that's what we need. Apparently, they have to sort of reinstate Parliament again. There's so many bits of paper you've got to sign. My hand would be worn out by now, trying to sign all these bits of paper. But she was a very great person, and they're moving her around all over the place. So she went, you know, from Balmoral to Aberdeen to Dundee to the Palace of Holyrood House, and then they'll be bringing her down to London. And the crowds will be there for her. Why? Because people liked her, and that's the important thing. Thank you for your company. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. We'll bring you up to date with all the routes that the state funeral will be taking, where you can lay flowers, and the lying in state as well. There's certain times that people can go. And we'll bring you up to date with all of those details on LBC. Until tomorrow morning, stay safe.